this. I never even considered that Dr. Pepper is a woman. And I'm, you know, having to address my own, you know,
wow.
sexism.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, Mr. Pibb makes it clear.
Mr. Pibb, I got. You right. know, but I never even thought that Dr. Pepper was actually a female doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I'm sorry, women everywhere. For my misogyny. Yeah.
I'm every day having to confront my own prejudices that, you know, yeah. lay dormant. And I have to
Does
be,
that mean that I should, like, stop drinking Dr. Pepper altogether? Or.
Well,
should I drink more Dr. Pepper in like celebration of women in the workplace? I don't know what's the appropriate.
That's a good question, and I'm not quite sure I know the answer.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
We should get Elise and our Pastor Cassandra in on this. Get a woman's perspective.
Is Dr. Pepper a woman?
Well, and how to best celebrate the possibility of Dr. Pepper being a woman? Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me as always, Pastor David Besser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Great. No Elise McCarter.
None.
Yep. She's out for this week.
Nope. No Pastor Cassandra to fill in for her either.
Yeah. She's on vacation. So,
yeah. Some help
across
they are.
The pond.
What, yeah. Across a pond.
Well, somewhere. I don't know.
Pond,
river.
I
actually don't even really know where she is.
An ocean.
I think she's in Europe.
She is in Europe. That's true.
Where in Europe? I'm not familiar.
Where
she definitely
in the
told
world
me.
Is Pastor Cassandra?
Yeah.
It's a little throwback to the 90s kids there.
I mean, she and I texted, but just really about trunk or treat, because we have a trunk together. So,
wow.
Yes.
Bothering her on her vacation about trunk or treat.
Yeah. Oh, I was just texting her things that we ordered have come in.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, she responded, so she seemed fine with it. So, yeah.
Or she's just holding on to her bitterness. And,
yeah.
and
great job last week in my absence.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Elise and I had some fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was in the hospital, so that's weird.
Yeah, well, by the time we recorded, you were home. So
yeah,
was,
that's
yeah.
true. Yeah. Just tired, yeah. yeah. I had aspiration pneumonia.
Yeah, so. Which we didn't know was a thing, and now
yeah.
we do.
Yeah. My pneumonia is going places, right? You know, like, it's got dreams, okay?
Going to the lungs, I'm going to the, I don't know, where else does pneumonia go?
Could go to the bloodstream.
Okay, that yeah. sounds worse.
I had to get tested for that, so.
Okay.
Yeah, swallowed saliva or bile or something while under anesthesia.
Saliva, best case scenario in
yeah,
this
yeah,
situation.
For sure. and caused like a chemical reaction in my lungs.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That was, turned it into pneumonia, so.
And like really fast, like within hours.
It was insane. Yeah, yeah. I went home, took a nap, woke up with unbelievable chills, vomiting, and then was like, felt so weak. I could barely move.
Oof, goodness.
Yeah. At the doctor's office, I was freezing and I had to ask the nurse to put like socks on for me.
That's a humbling position. You
it
found
really
yourself
is. I was like, I don't think I can do this myself. Yeah. And I was wearing my Crocs too, so I had to be like, I'm sorry.
You weren't wearing socks with your Crocs already? That's like the thing now is to wear
no,
socks
well,
with Crocs.
Well, I mean, I was like, you know, stumbling to the door, you know, to get to the van so my
yeah.
wife could drive me to the ER. Yeah, it was, I mean.
You didn't make your 8-month pregnant wife put your socks on you for you?
She left. Oh, she had to go pick up our kids and I was just there. Yeah, it was a weird, scary couple days,
the,
but,
yeah.
You know.
We can laugh about it now because you're okay.
Yeah, because I'm okay, yeah. Yes, yeah. My nurse, Eunice, so the good Lord was looking out for me. So
Your nurse's name was Eunice?
Yeah, she was
okay.
Jamaican. Yes.
Oh, I would not have pegged that as a Jamaican name.
She was very lovely.
I was going German, but all right.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
In my defense, I have a, what would a, I guess this is not really related to me at all. My sister-in-law's nephew. So my like nephew-in-law once removed or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway,
his I name, don't know how any of that works.
He's German and his name is Eunice. That's what I was jumping to a German name. Anyway.
His name is Eunice?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Listen, I know one Eunice, it's a German man, and you know one Eunice and it's a Jamaican woman. I don't know what we're doing here.
Maybe it's a love story. It's,
who knows?
Yeah.
He's all right. He's also like 7, so.
You know, I did not get her age. I don't think she's 7.
I hope not. I hope your nurse was not 7. Yeah.
Yeah. She's very lovely. Very kind. All right. Let's jump into it.
All right.
Okay.
What are we doing today? We talked about, did you hear our Sasquatch package for the Bronco last week? I don't know if you got a chance to dive into our episode last week, but you can get a Bronco with a Sasquatch hunting package, which I thought was very fun.
Okay. Yeah. I'm pro Sasquatch hunting.
I know. Yeah. We got to go find it.
Yeah. in everywhere now. Every state has basically been like, we got Sasquatches here. I don't think Texas. You know, I think, you know.
Well, whatever we have, it's bigger than Sasquatch.
We have a...
Bigger and better.
Chupacabra.
Yes. It's further south.
I'm from San Antonio. Okay, we had chupacabras.
Yeah? Is that a thing in San Antonio?
Strong Mexican heritage.
Sure. So. Okay, fair enough.
All right. We are talking about Washington State.
Okay. That's a place where Sasquatch might be.
Absolutely. Or 100 raccoons.
100 raccoons?
Yes. Woman calls 911 after being counted by up to 100 raccoons.
I heard about this. Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. Woman had to flee her property after 100 raccoons descended upon it.
Yeah, but why did the 100 raccoons
aggressively
descend upon her? Why did they descend upon her?
Okay, so she was feeding them.
Exactly. She had done the one thing that you're like not supposed to do and had been feeding wildlife. And so wildlife came back to get her.
According to her, she was feeding
She's definitely a
small
trustworthy source.
Family of raccoons for a long time, like a year.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, 100 raccoons showed up at her door begging for food. And she said they were coming day and night, increasingly more aggressive, demanding food, and they were scratching the outside of her door. They would surround her car.
Yeah.
So, 100 raccoons just being like, we need that food.
Don't feed the wildlife, people.
Yeah.
Don't feed the wildlife. As much fun as it is.
Sure.
As cute as they look.
Yeah, that's the problem with raccoons, is they do look pretty cute.
They are.
Like, but they are basically...
criminals.
Like, I mean, they even have the eye mask.
They do. They're ready to rob a bank at any moment.
Yeah, they're basically giant rats. Yep. I mean, like, in all things considered. You know, like, they're just scavengers and who just have a really great, you know, a great look.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, thumbs that are very grabby. I don't know if they actually have opposable thumbs, but they can do lots of things with their hands.
Yeah. I don't think we've had raccoons in my neighborhood. Or at least I actually have seen a raccoon coming out of the sewer. So
yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And it went back in. So
we had lots of raccoons at the camp that I worked at, and we had to make sure that we were like closing all of our dumpsters and everything like that and closing up trash really tightly, because they would come and like, you'd come up from the campfire and then raccoons would like come jumping out of the trash cans like running away.
We did have a raccoon in our trash can here that I went to throw stuff out, and there was a raccoon in there, and I had to find a board
To let it out.
To try to see if, you know,
that was very
at least give him the option. You know,
your choice.
I'm not going in there to get him out.
Yeah, but if you want to come out on your own, you go nuts, man.
At least now you could come out. Maybe, you know, maybe you're like, I've reached it.
That's right. Peak raccoon. Yes. I live in the dumpster.
Aspiration raccoon is dumpster life.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Good job, raccoon.
The raccoons appear to have started dispersing now that they're no longer being fed. And we have a positive outcome.
Yeah, because they're scavengers. So, you know, no food. Move on.
According to...
Who did she call to notify about this?
The cops!
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they are robbers. So, you know.
Fair point. I have 100 bandits on my property.
Not illegal to feed raccoons, by the way.
It's not illegal?
It is not illegal. In Washington State. I cannot speak for Texas. But it is illegal to feed bears and cougars.
Oh,
but
sure.
But not raccoons.
This probably has something to do with like hunting law or something like that, is my guess. But yeah.
Yeah, and also like those things could like actually kill you.
Kill you, sure, sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah. All right. We get possums sometimes in my backyard.
We saw a possum last night. We get skunks in our area pretty regularly. Nice. We smell those a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll find a baby possum in our trash cans and I have to like tip it over and
put a board in it.
I just tip it over and like, you know, you do you.
Yeah,
like,
that's right. Give it the choice.
Yeah,
what are you
do? You do whatever you want to do, and I usually come back and he's gone. So
okay, there you go.
Yeah. And my dog will, if the storms are on the fence, like crawling across the fence, it'll go out there and bark, 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 bark.
But sure.
They are unfazed.
Yeah. My in-law's greyhound caught a skunk the other day.
Oh, how'd that go for it?
It was smelly, apparently.
Yeah, I imagine so. Word on the street is that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever fed wildlife. Maybe birds.
Ducks would be the thing that, yeah.
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 Like throwing, like. You know.
Which also, not a good idea. You shouldn't do that either. I know it's fun.
Is it fun? Not,
I mean, for little kids, you get to bring the ducks over, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But you're not supposed to do it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not good for the wildlife.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know.
Store-bought bread is not on the ducks' normal dietary habits.
Ducks are artisan bread only. Okay? I need the sourdough home-baked.
Give me that homemade. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Wonder Bread. Ugh, come on. You know?
Hey, man, Wonder Bread. Top tier.
They're looking they're looking down there, Bill, at it. Yes.
Oh, look at you go, yeah.
Yeah. All right, there you go. There you go. 100 raccoons.
Okay.
Call the police.
Don't call the police. If you have raccoons on your property.
I don't know. Who are you supposed to call then?
Animal control.
I guess so.
Or Ghostbusters. That's also.
Sure. Yeah. It's hot spooky season. Yeah. I mean, it would be pretty spooky if 100 raccoons were outside my house clawing at the door.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's jump into our main topic.
Okay.
From Relevant.
Okay.
By Jared Brock, Brooke, B-R-O-C-K.
I'd say Brock.
Okay, me too. Have we forgotten the point of prayer?
It's to get rid of all these raccoons on my property.
Maybe,
it's
It's only prayer drives away the raccoons. Yes.
That's right.
All right, what do you think? Have we forgotten the point of prayer?
Some of us, probably.
Yeah. Did we ever know?
That's
maybe
also
maybe that's the better question. Yeah.
We had to have known something in order to have forgotten it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump in. Prayer often gets misunderstood.
Sure, okay. I'm with that.
In a world driven by instant gratification and quick results, it's easy to think of prayer as another transactional activity, like placing an order online and waiting for it to arrive. And if we don't get the outcome we're hoping for, we might assume something went wrong on our end or that God's not paying attention.
You know, where's that Prime Day special? Yeah. I want, you know, same day delivery guy.
I paid for Prime prayer.
That's right.
Free 2-day, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
From, I guess, now most things. Because some things are like, it's not even 2-day. Come on, Prime. Come on, Jeff. It's no surprise. I'm sure he's hearing. I'm sure he's listening. It's no surprise, then, that many people have started to question the relevance of prayer altogether. Why ask for divine help when we're not seeing the results we want, especially in a world filled with so much need and injustice?
Mm.
All right. So, some good questions here.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, we do have a world filled with need and injustice.
Agreed.
And oftentimes it feels like those things are not met or fixed by supernatural means.
Yeah. We pray all the time. Things still happen.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Or do we? You
know? Yeah. I mean, I'll say, like, as a corporate church, right?
Yeah.
We pray.
Prayer's happening.
Yeah. Prayer's happening. We pray for people after hurricanes. Hurricanes keep happening. We pray for people who are hungry. People are still hungry, right? Yeah. It continues on.
Yeah. All right. So what is the point of prayer?
Mm.
Do you want to get Jared's definition or do you want to give your definition?
I'll give my definition.
Okay,
I think that, you can go back to the classic, what was it? ACTS or ACTS.
Sure.
Understanding of prayer, right?
Yeah, well, you should explain that.
I'm trying to remember all the letters.
I got some of them.
Okay, so
A is adoration.
Adoration. So you praise God, right? And then C is not complain. That's,
I think it's confession.
Confession, that's it.
C is complain time. First you praise God, and then like, I got a list of grievances, no, God. Enough. Here we go.
It's Festivus with God every time we pray.
I got 100 raccoons out here. All right.
T.
I believe it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. There.
Did you know any of these?
So here's what I'm remembering. I remembered pray, not ACTS. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, why did you use ACTS?
Because ACTS is the one that popped in my head. But pray is praise, repent, I think adoration, and then yield. Ask is the A, and then yield is the Y. And so it's the same theme, right?
Just okay. So in Acts, by the way, since we started, S is supplication,
right?
Which is the ask part of prayer.
Right.
Yes.
At any rate, so if in both of these, we might notice that in spite of my forgetting of the acronyms, they start with a sense of praising God, giving glory to God, and then also confessing our own life and the things that we've done. And there's a point in which we're intentionally yielding or giving away for God's will to be done, right? Yep. I think that's one of the most powerful prayers that Jesus offers when he's in the garden, right? Not my will, but your will, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we invite that into our life to allow God to speak into us and through us by God's will happening in us. And I think that prayer aligns us with God in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Should I pray for things that I want and things that I desire to happen? Absolutely. There's no reason you can't pray for that. But I think the center of prayer is building on a relationship that centers you so that you're more in tune with God's will for you and for the world around you. So you're more aware of the people who are hungry that you can help, and you're more aware of the ways that in which you can make a difference in the world.
Yeah. Jared will say prayer isn't about getting what we want. It's about transforming who we are.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah. I think so, too.
I said that in a lot more words.
Including an acronym. You didn't know any of the words. Yeah. I do agree with his first, his first paragraph here. Like, I think many times we see prayer as transactional.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I am approaching God. Here's my wish list. I've given you my Amazon wish list.
Yep.
And I expect some of these things for Christmas, kind of a thing. Like,
and we get that from Jesus, right? Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Right?
Yeah. So it's not unfounded.
Right.
But I think we've reduced it to that.
Yes.
Here's my list of asks. Here's my list of wants. And, sometimes our prayers can come from a selfish place.
Absolutely.
But sometimes they, are altruistic. Like, we're praying for those in the hospital.
Could be.
Our church prayed for me when I was in the hospital.
We did.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Or you're praying for the good of our country, or those in need, mm-hmm. or those who are sick, or those who have been affected by hurricanes, or multiple hurricanes, on our East Coast. So we're, still coming to God, though, with the list of, here's my wish list.
Yeah.
And I want you to kind of like make it happen, right? That it's easy to kind of, I've written out my list, and now God is who's like Santa will give me some of these things. Not all of them, obviously, because that's
greedy.
Yeah. But at least some of them, right?
Right.
Like a handful,
Well, and you got to ask for that big thing that, it's probably out of reach for Santa, but maybe you can get that mid-tier because I can't do that, but I can do.
That's true. You got to game the prayer system. Yeah. All right. So we've got a couple of bullet points here.
Okay.
That Jared is classic relevant article.
Love it.
Has bullet points.
Let's do it.
Okay. And he even mentions that people think God is like Santa Claus. Yep.
No, there you go.
Or a spiritual slot machine. Yep.
Oh, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. All right.
You put in enough coins and it's about to pay off at some point, right? So, all right.
Is that true of slot machines? I feel like a lot of people spend their whole lives playing slot machines and not actually getting a payout.
I have been to Vegas and I did not really do the slot machines. I think it's boring.
I mean, I don't disagree.
I preferred playing blackjack because at least I'm making choices.
Sure. I'm involved in this process.
Yeah, and the slot machine, I'm just pulling a lever. And whatever happens, happens, and it's completely out of my control. And I just didn't like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, even in any other gambling, you're going to lose eventually. I mean, that's how Vegas works. You eventually just lose it all.
Right.
So
the house always wins.
Yeah.
It's an expression for a reason.
Because people keep playing, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yep.
All right, but I just at least liked the choice aspect.
Sure. Okay, but anyway. I like to choose to lose all my money. I don't want to just throw it away.
Yeah, at least then I can say... If I would have chosen something different, but what could you do? If I would have played this other one, whatever. Not for me. Some people seem to love it, though.
Some people do.
A lot of people on the slot machines when I was there. So, all right, here we go. Prayer changes us.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a matter of relationship, right? That when we're in conversation with someone that we care about and who cares about us, we're inevitably changed by that relationship. And if that relationship was with God, then we're theoretically more aligned with what God has in store for us.
Yeah. He kind of says like, look, if you have breakfast with Bill Gates every morning, you're going to get better at managing your money. I'm not sure Bill Gates
it's an interesting choice.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously very wealthy, but,
But just hanging out with rich people doesn't mean you're going to get better at managing your money.
Or he's, if you have lunch every day with Steven Spielberg, you're going to watch more movies.
That's possible. Yeah.
I think it's like if you surround yourself with like great,
people who
are experts in their field, it's naturally going to rub off on you kind of thing.
All right.
And I can buy that first. So if you're spending time every day with God in prayer, it's naturally going to rub off on you.
I'm
like,
with you.
You're naturally going to become more like Jesus.
I think there are better examples than the Bill Gates and the Steven Spielberg thing, but I understand what he's going for. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I just think, not necessarily the greatest analogy, but I get it.
Yeah. I support the premise.
Okay. So, I think first step, and, when we pray, it changes us.
Yeah. So if we come to prayer thinking that we're here to get something from God, if we change our mindset to say, I'm coming to prayer so that I can be changed.
Yeah.
That's a mental state that we can put ourselves in to kind of open ourselves up to the process in a new way.
Yeah. Okay. Done with that one.
Okay.
Number two.
All right.
Prayer is active.
Okay.
What do we think?
I don't really know what he means by active, so I'm curious who I'm having breakfast with to do this one. But
somebody who's active, probably like a CrossFitter or something.
Oh, God, that sounds awful. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I mean, if we mean by prayer is active, if we mean that like prayer drives us into the world, prayer leads us to take action, then I think I'm all for that. Beyond that, I'm not really sure what he means. So let's hear from Jared, maybe.
Yeah. This one, I mean, I think he's not really saying a lot here.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But basically, it's pointed to like one of the Western monasteries in Italy has a phrase called prayer and work.
Okay.
And basically, the idea is like when we pray, it drives us to do.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not necessarily, you know, in those moments where we're connecting with God, like that's active, but like it's impossible, like, the more we pray, the more it's going to drive us to give, the more it's going to drive us to be, you know, the cliche, but has kind of meaning behind it. It's going to drive us to be the change we want to see in the world, right?
Yeah.
So I can see this. Like, the more we pray to God, I think the more it's going to show us ways that we can make a difference from our point of view or our perspective.
I think that's a result of being changed by the process of prayer, right? That when you're open to that process, then it will lead you to be active in the world as a result of that process. I'm with that. Yeah. I can get down with that.
Okay. Prayer is a buffet.
All right. As opposed to like a single course, single serving situation. Is this an all-you-can-eat buffet? I can keep going back?
I think one, it's definitely all you can eat.
All right. I'm good for that.
And two, has a variety.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you like an all-you-can-eat buffet? Are you a fan?
A Chinese buffet is the only buffet that I would really be interested in.
Okay. What about the all-you-can-eat pizza buffets?
Like Cece's?
I mean, that's the one that exists now. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Do you
remember when Papa John, Pizza Hut used to have pizza buffets? Yeah. Do you remember those?
Yeah. I remember the indoor, like it had like a little salad cart too. It was weird. Yeah. Now we kind of quietly figured out. That's probably not very healthy.
Maybe we shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Have the salad in the middle of the restaurant. Yeah. Everybody just goes to it. I'm not like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't eat a ton. Like, obviously, I eat more. Like, I'm American, so I eat more than I should.
Sure.
But I'm not like,
that goes without saying.
I'm not like a four plater at a buffet kind of a person.
Or so,
I'm getting a pizza buffet, I'm not going to eat 18 slices of pizza. Like, I'm just not going to do that.
So, like, the Golden Corral, you're not really feeling like you're getting your money worth at the...
Yeah, so, like,
also, that, Golden Corral, not great. Yeah,
that's kind of what... Like, that's the biggest thing about a buffet. If, like, I'm paying $20.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm not really sure I'm going to get $20 worth of
I hear that.
Food.
That's
so
fair.
I'd rather just pay the $14 for my meal and just eat it all and just be done.
Sure.
Yeah. But I do like a Chinese buffet.
Sure.
So, okay. So.
Who doesn't like a Chinese buffet and the risk of illness that comes with it?
Sure. Now, admittedly, I probably fill up too much on rice, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's an amateur mistake.
But I like the rice. Sure. You know, it's hard.
It's good rice.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. I like this idea of, like, prayer is not one thing. It's not like every morning you say your one prayer and then you just move on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
I think prayer, you know, is a lot, you know, and... pray at all times with all kinds of prayers from the Bible. So, you know. And so I like that idea that it's a menu, not a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And the better we get at prayer, I think the better we get at different kinds of prayers. Because sometimes I think, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, in the American church, I think we've become pretty bad at lamenting towards God.
Yeah.
And I think prayer can be and should be times of lament.
Absolutely.
Where you're really saying, God, this is what is up.
Yeah.
And what we see in scripture is God is... always on board. Like, he never admonishes anybody for, like, how dare you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sometimes doesn't really address it.
Yeah.
But he never tells them, you're wrong for thinking that way.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, I think prayer can be and sometimes should be look different for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then finally prayer. Oh, no, two more. Prayer is about relationship.
Yeah. I think it's relationship with God, right? It's that communication piece. If you have a relationship with another human being and you never talk, it's not a very good relationship, right?
Absolutely.
Prayer is the way that we have an opportunity to both talk to and listen to, importantly, God, right? It's never just a one-way communication. And probably, like in most relationships, the listening is more important than the talking in many cases.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and he kind of uses the analogy in relationship. If you're married and you only spend like a handful of sentences every day to your spouse, that's probably not going to be a very healthy relationship, right? Like, I don't think either one of you is going to feel all that fulfilled by that relationship or things like that. And even though there might be some common phrases, words, or things you say back and forth to each other every day, and he uses the example, I love you.
Sure.
You're going to need to keep finding new ways, right? Yeah. To kind of communicating with one another and new things to talk about, in a sense.
Yeah.
All right, so... And then lastly, prayer is compelling.
Mm. Okay. Compelling to what?
Ooh, what do we think here?
I mean, I guess this to me sounds like it's kind of driving us back to the prayer's active piece, where it's driving us out into the world. And so if we're compelled to take action through prayer, I'm with that.
Yeah. He says, sometimes we'll become the answer to our own prayers. And I think that's interesting, right? Like, we're praying for, like, so-and-so's in the hospital. I wish that they feel cared about and loved and things like that. And maybe you think, maybe I should be that person who goes and gives them care and love and make sure they're provided for or to do something for their family. I think that that is, you know, one of the ways that we can be compelled by prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. Other thoughts that we got on prayer here?
Yeah, I think that when we recenter ourselves in this place, right, that prayer changes us. I think over time it changes how we pray as well, right? And that's one of the experiences that I've had, particularly with people in the hospital who are sick, right? That oftentimes the prayer, like the right prayer, feels like it should be, I pray for this person to get better.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're praying in hospitals for people that are not going to get better.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think they're going to get better and they don't.
Sure.
And so, like, being, I think as much as it's important to have the communication to start with the prayer, it's also important to remember, like, the way that things turn out do not affect the efficacy of the prayer, right? Yeah. Just because I prayed for someone to recover and get better and they didn't, doesn't mean my prayer wasn't effective. Doesn't mean my prayer wasn't well received or of meaning to God or had the ability to change my heart, right? Maybe wonderful things happened because of my prayer, but the thing that didn't happen was maybe the one thing that I remember. And I think we're much quicker to point out the things we prayed for that didn't happen as opposed to thinking about the things that potentially could have happened through our prayer.
Yeah.
And in one case, I think it's harder to point to those things, so I understand that.
Sure.
But I think that's another piece of the puzzle of a prayer that we misunderstand.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking when I was reading this topic here, so there's this really neat passage in scripture where this man brings his son who's possessed by a demon to the disciples.
Yeah.
And they're trying to drive it out and they can't.
Yep.
And then Jesus shows up and he does it. And drives a demon.
Boom.
Yeah, it's easy. And then the disciples...
I mean, he is Jesus, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
privately ask him, like, hey, why couldn't we do it?
Yeah.
You know?
What did we do wrong?
Well, yeah. And Jesus says, this kind only comes out through prayer.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think it's great. Like, Jesus gives, like, this really great little kind of spicy little answer back to the disciples. And the idea of, like, you were faced with, like, a supernatural problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you tried to handle it on your own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, your access to the divine, you did not even attempt. And how many times have we faced, like, problems far bigger than ourselves?
Sure.
And we think, I got this. Or we just lament, or we think, what could handle this? And instead of, like, Jesus says, like, hey, this kind only works through prayer.
Only through prayer, yeah.
Yeah. And what's also fascinating about that is Jesus doesn't even pray. Like there's not like a, he doesn't have like this little private get to, you know, prayer service. Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, it says Jesus often is withdrawing to pray.
Yeah.
And so
he has a prayer life.
He has a prayer life. So I think it's even like, for me, it's even like Jesus is so attuned or so connected through prayer to God that he's like praying before it even happens, right? Like, he's praying before he gets sick, or he's praying before the tragedy, or we're praying for our, you know, our country's future before we're faced with the disaster.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of like a neat way to kind of, I've kind of tried to look at prayer of like, God, help me, prepare me now for the things that are coming that I can't even conceive of.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, And maybe that preparing is going to be tough. Like, it's having breakfast with a CrossFitter, and nobody wants to do that. Yeah. So, like, no offense if you're a CrossFitter, but that's how people think about you. Like,
yeah.
But maybe that's what I need. Like, but maybe I need that right now to prepare for what's coming down the road.
Sure.
Kind of a thing, right? And so I think I love that story. I think it's really fascinating.
That is a good one. Yeah.
I wish I could probably find it here in the Bible, but you know, you'll find it. You're smart people.
Yeah.
If you want to read more. Yeah.
I think it's in Matthew.
Probably, maybe Mark, maybe both. Yeah.
Sounds plausible. Right. These Sounds are all right. reasonable scenarios.
Sounds about right. Yeah. Maybe even Luke then. Probably not John. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
John doesn't have any, like, not that many miracles. Or
there are seven.
Seven miracles. So that's not that many.
Yeah. Seven signs that John talks about. Yeah.
And no parables.
No parables.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts you got for prayer?
You should do it. Prayer is good.
Yeah.
If you don't know where to start, Lord's Prayer is a good place. Disciples say, teach us how to pray, and Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer, right? And so if you're going to start somewhere, start with that.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to say, get that in tune into your brain, mm-hmm. and then expand from there.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about the Lord's Prayer, the Bible Project did a whole series about the Lord's Prayer earlier this year.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good one. I think they had a video on it, too. I don't remember that for sure, but they had a podcast series on the Lord's Prayer.
That's great. Yeah, I will say, you know, since this one... Sometimes we talk about culture. Sometimes we talk about faith. This one's a little more attuned to faith. You know, we want to say to the Beyond Sunday audience, this is kind of our challenge for all of us. Let's just increase our prayer life this week.
Yeah.
And not, you know, you don't need to go from like...
0 to 60.
Yeah, 0 to 60. Like, I've never done this before, and now I'm a prayer warrior. You know, if you're a 2 on the 10 scale, let's get to 2.5. You know, like,
there
that's do that.
Big step.
And if you're a 10, well...
Crank it up to 11.
Good for you. You know, like, you're great, you know, but you might not need to listen to us anymore.
We have nothing more to offer you.
I think you're in a pretty good spot. Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Well, hey, send us, send us what you're praying for.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear what you're praying for. You can send that to us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.